I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. I welcome back Malcolm Honlein, my colleague and compadre. He's been traveling, but he's back with us now to observe the changes, or not, in the Middle East and throughout the Levant these last days, driven by spectacular news in terms of rearranging the deck chairs on the troubled in the Gulf. That is the alliance, if that's the correct word, between Iran and China. Money is said to be changing hands, a lot of money, over 25 years. But then again, there are mysteries here to be solved, especially because Iran remains in the doghouse. No, that's the improper metaphor. Iran remains in the corner. I like dogs a lot. Iran remains in the corner because of its suspect nuclear weapons program, which does not seem to bother the People's Republic of China. We welcome Carice Whitty. Carice is the founder and executive director of Signal. That's an acronym, Sino-Israel Global Network and Academic Leadership, based in Israel. Carice, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. Good evening, good morning. The news of the Tehran-Beijing alliance, was that upsetting in Israel, or was it expected? Good evening to you.
Thank you so much for having me. So the news of the actual signing was a bit of a surprise. It was not expected China would actually sign the deal. It was definitely not guaranteed. China's promised to sign many different agreements. They don't always come to the stage of signatures. I believe that they were compelled in their own minds to sign because of the tensions in Anchorage with the United States, and that this process is very much a response to U.S. tensions and concerns about the U.S. pressures on China.
Malcolm. This deal was signed, was in the works for 5 years, as I recall, and was announced in July. So, number one, why did it take so long? Were the Chinese just playing this out, waiting to see the outcome of the Anchorage talks? And how does this then put pressure on the U.S. in its role in the Gulf?
China agreed with Iran in 2016 to establish a kind of memorandum of understanding. This was in the works, but there was no guarantee it would take place or, you know, be finalized. And China's decision to do this was based on the developments that took place recently, because it's definitely China's interest to pressure the United States and show the world that it is a responsible stakeholder when it comes to the areas of the Middle East and other areas of the world that are of significance to the U.S. The actual, John mentioned that there would be an exchange of money. No money has been exchanged, and the Chinese do not need to sign this deal in order to carry out any business with Iran. Because of the sanctions, Iran's in a difficult situation, and they're actually frustrated by their relationship with China because China has been able to take advantage of the situation repeatedly.
But is the strategic part, let me just clarify, you didn't address the strategic component. And I saw in Israel expressions of concern that it is the intelligence sharing more than the economic implications that seem to be important.
You know, I would look at this, all the statements, as posturing and as optics. Whether or not China is going to have intelligence sharing with Iran has nothing to do with the signing of an agreement. They can do that intelligence sharing anyway. Is Israel concerned about intelligence sharing between China and Iran, possibly? Does the deal itself impact that? Not at all. Will China actually do intelligence sharing with Iran? It depends. China will weigh the situation according to its needs in the moment, although the moment can, you know, be over a period of time, but China would like to improve relations with the United States. And if it sees things moving in that direction, then it will definitely step back from some of these implied plans. But again, China has made agreements and statements to do all kinds of cooperation throughout the world. And, you know, the Belt and Road Initiative has seen many problems and many frustrations for the countries that have been recipients of loans or infrastructure projects. And China sees that, you know, problems, there are problems, and it will change direction. So whether or not China actually will do intelligence sharing with Iran is a big question mark.
What does Tehran get out of this, besides headlines? And there's always questions about cash. China doesn't pay up at the end, and it makes it very difficult if they've loaned you money. So how does Tehran see this as an advantage, given that it already has Russia sitting at the table?
China represents a huge player that can neutralize the impact of the sanctions. And in fact, some of the Iranian diplomats have said now that we have China on our side, the U.S. sanctions don't matter. And Iran, from its own perspective, is in a much stronger position and can take a tougher stand in the face of what, you know, in Vienna, and what they're going to have to do to come back to the table.
Malcolm?
Do you see China playing any kind of a larger role? I mean, they talked about a five-point plan to advance peace talks between Israel and the Palestinians. They saw the Iranians offered to host direct talks between the Israelis and the Palestinians. I mean, should this, is any of this a surprise, given that China votes 100% against Israel at the UN? And does it relate to any of the other sanctions being levied against China?
So about China hosting Palestinians and Israelis, that is not an official event. They have, you know, the Chinese have a lot of challenges with their Muslim population at home, and they're very concerned about maintaining good relations with the 56 Muslim states. Those votes in the United Nations are very important to China. And their actions are often organized so that they can satisfy what they perceive to be the interests of those Muslim states. So in their view, if they can bring together some Palestinians and perhaps MKs in opposition, as they have done in the past, that just holding that discussion has some kind of political implications for their relationship with the Muslim states. It doesn't actually have any real impact in Israel. The people who participate are not decision makers on either side. And again, this is very much about optics.
The optics. We just have 30 seconds. Carissa, if the optics are favor Tehran at this moment, do these optics take away from the glittering Abraham Accords, in your opinion? 30 seconds to go.
In reality, they don't. They will for the current news cycle, but the Abraham Accords are a challenge for China and for Iran, and they will be strengthened over time, and Israel will do everything it can to make sure that they're successful.
Carissa Witte is the founder and executive director of Signal, Sino-Israel Global Network and Academic Leadership. She's based in Israel. Malcolm Holmline, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, is back in the saddle. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show on CBS Audio Network.